Speaking on this program is Brother James Watkins.
They that gladly received his word were baptized, and there were added unto them in that day about 3,000 souls. Acts chapter 2, verse 41. Now we know the background of this. Peter had preached the gospel in the second chapter of the book of Acts. It's recorded. His Jewish auditors were cut to the heart. They believed what he said. And they said in verse 37, "Brethren, what shall we do?" Peter said, "Repent ye, and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of your sins." And some 3,000 of them favorably received the truth, yielded their lives in humble obedience to the Lord. Salvation, of course, is a matter of faith. And that's why we are baptized, for the remission of our sins. Now, the person who thinks only with the physical senses considers that to be rather, foolish. What is the connection between being dipped in the water and salvation from sin? Physically, of course, nothing. No, salvation is by faith. Oh, and faith cometh of hearing, and hearing by the word of God, Romans 10:17. The saving faith is made manifest in my humble obedience to the Lord's will. But it's an interesting thing. 3,000 precious souls, by the authority of Jesus Christ, that is, in the name of Christ, were baptized for the remission of their sins. But you know that next verse is most interesting. And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' teaching, the fellowship, the breaking of bread, and the prayers. You see, that initial obedience to the gospel, that is, when by faith one is baptized into Christ, that's a commitment. The basis for that commitment, the motivation that leads me to yield my life to the Almighty, is love. I see how His love provided for my redemption in the sacrifice of His pure, guiltless, innocent Son. Jesus, my Lord, suffered as I should have suffered. He died the death that I should have died. The wages of sin is death, and He died in my stead. Friends, I understand John's statement over in 1 John 4 at verse 19, isn't it? We love because He first loved us. Oh, that's certainly true. We give our lives in humble obedience to the Lord's will. But we're concerned for the next few moments with that statement in verse 42 of Acts chapter 2. They continued. This is the basis of our commitment to Christ. We intend to serve Him. That's why, by love, we submit our lives to His will. I want to be His servant. I want to give my life to the accomplishment of His will in this old earth. And by the way, that's the basis of my happiness and genuine joy. Now, I remember that Paul said in Philippians 4, verse 4, "In nothing be anxious, but in all things by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. Oh, and the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall guard your hearts and your thoughts in Christ Jesus," through verse 7. Isn't that interesting? Now, when you serve the Lord, of course, spiritual concepts, spiritual conduct, spiritual thinking is opposed to the old physical man. And so being a spiritual being in a physical world, you and I are going to suffer. There's no question in our efforts to accomplish the will of God, we are going to be different from the world about us. We're not to allow the pressure and the negative statements to change our faith, our commitment to Jesus Christ. All who would live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. Paul said that, didn't he? 2 Timothy chapter 3, about verse 12. Well, that's simply because you are committed to the accomplishment of the will of Jesus Christ. But what does that say to me? Oh, they continued steadfastly, that is, with purpose, determination. Nothing was allowed to interfere in the apostles' teaching. Now, I remember that Jesus said in that familiar passage, John chapter 16, verse 13, "But when He, the Spirit of truth, is come, He shall guide you into all truth." Oh, Jesus Christ is saying to these apostles, when the Holy Spirit comes, He will guide you inerrantly into the recording of the sum total of my will to sinful humanity. So today we understand that every scripture inspired of God is profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, truly, that's completely furnished unto every good work. Marvelous indeed. Then I am to continue in a thus saith the Lord. That's correct. You know, today in the church, there are a few who have drifted, and they are seeking to combine truth with error. It is rather amazing, and as a matter of fact, heart-rending. When you see men who have understood, who have taught faithfully in times past the truth of God, who today are saying, oh no, we need to, you know, be associated with people who are, now it would be wonderful if all believers in Christ could be united, and that is the desire of every Christian heart. There's no question, however. I remember that Amos said, chapter 3, verse 3, shall two walk together except they be agreed? No. The only way we can stand firmly in an acceptable relationship with the Almighty is to do what He said. And He strictly forbids me to combine truth with error. That is, to say, yeah, well, we'll go along together here. You practice your instrumental music and worship, and I'll just use a cappella. I'll sing. That's ridiculous reasoning. What does the Lord say? Oh, they continued steadfastly in the apostles' teaching. What is the inspired teaching relative to music in the assembly of the saints? Oh, speaking one to another in psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs, singing, making melody with your hearts unto the Lord. Ephesians 5:19. Singing? Yes, the fruit of lips. Hebrews 13 at verse 15. Oh, there's about 8 or 10 passages in the Scripture that deal with music and worship. It's always a cappella. Oh, yes, it's just the voice. As a matter of fact, a mechanical instrument of music, any kind that you could think of, it cannot do one thing the Lord requires to be done by the music that He authorized in the Scripture. No, speaking one to another in psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts unto God. So then it is the fruit of lips. It is, oh, well, someone said, preacher, what difference was it? What difference does it make? Whether we obey God or rebel against Him? My friend, we don't need to ask that question. We know the difference that it would make. Oh, in the Old Testament, for instance, Nadab and Abihu, you remember, were priests. Their task was to offer incense before the Lord. Now, each took a censer, put incense thereon, and offered strange fire, which Jehovah commanded not. And fire came forth from Jehovah and burned them to death. At their, wait. Where had God said, don't use strange? He didn't say anything about it at all. No. You see, faith cometh of hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Faith does not come by what God said nothing about. No. The only way I can walk by faith is simply to submit my life in obedience to what the Lord has authorized. Well, somebody says that's a little silly. That's what I'm saying, you see. All who would live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. You see, the faithful walk by faith. Faith cometh of hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Book, chapter, and verse. Stand ready to give answer to every man that asketh thee a reason for the hope that is in you. A reason, book, chapter, and verse. Here is what the Lord has said. Well, somebody says, we like mechanical instruments and music, and we're concerned. Worship of God has nothing to do with what I like. No. Faith cometh of hearing, and hearing not by what I like, and not by what I think would be all right. Not by what some wise man has said, oh, it'll be fine. Just add that, it won't. Hey, many false teachers have gone out into the world. Oh, that's why John made the statement in 1 John 4, verse 1, Beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits whether they be of God, for many false prophets are gone out into the world. But you know that statement, they continue steadfastly in the apostles' teaching? It's an interesting thing. Among other things, the apostles taught that we're to go into all of the world and preach the gospel to every creature. And that gospel, very specific. I recall the charge Paul made to Timothy, 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 1. I charge thee in the sight of God and of Christ Jesus, who shall judge the living and the dead, and by his appearing in his kingdom, preach the word. Be urgent, in season, out of season. Reprove, rebuke, and exhort with all longsuffering and teaching. Why the urgency? Why stay strictly with the word? Thus say, a lot of times many shall depart from the faith. Men won't abide by the truth. No. Having itching ears, Paul explained, they'll turn aside their hearts away from the truth and be turned aside unto error. Well, that's why Timothy was to suffer hardship and do the work of an evangelist. He was to fulfill his ministry. What is the ministry? Preach the word with urgency. Man is alienated from God. The only possibility of reconciliation is the truth which makes men free. John 8, verse 32. John 17, verse 17. Sanctify them in truth. Thy word is truth. We must conform to a thus saith the Lord and teach only that for which we give book, chapter, and verse. Otherwise, we're false teachers, and those who follow us will, of course, be lost. We need to stay with the book. That's an interesting thing. Speaking where the Bible speaks. Isn't it what Peter said? 1 Peter 4, verse 11. If any man speak, let him speak as the oracles of God. Why, certainly. Oh, and as Paul, of course, warned the church in Corinth, 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 10. Oh, he said, I beseech you, I beg you, brethren, in the name, through the authority of Jesus Christ, that you all speak the same thing. Oh, that there be no divisions among you, but that you be perfected together in the same mind and in the same judgment. How can that be done? Just speak as the oracles of God direct. Just say what the Lord said in His Word. This is the teaching that is to be done. Thus saith the Lord. And I need to be diligent in that. You see, the only possibility of human redemption is faith. Faith cometh of hearing, and hearing for the Word of God. The individual's faith is made manifest when he gives himself in humble obedience to the Lord's will. Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. Matthew 22, verse 39. How much do I love me? Friend, I want to stand in a right relationship with God. I want to live with Him in the beauty and perfection of heaven eternally. You're an immortal soul. Sure, we come from different backgrounds. No, we don't all understand the same thing in the same way, and we don't know the same people, but you're an immortal soul. You're going to live forever. Agape. That selfless love that sees the value of the human soul, as Jesus demonstrated by His leaving heaven, giving up equality with the Father, and dying in my stead to redeem my soul. Then I need to love my neighbor. I need to love my fellow man as Christ loved me. How much did He love me? Enough to make provision for my salvation. Same thing. I need to do my best to impart the truth that makes men free to the minds and the hearts of those about me. That's what Christianity is all about. Lift up the hands that hang down and the paws and knees, and make straight paths for your feet, that the lame be not cast out of the way, but rather be healed. Hebrews chapter 12 at verse 12. But you know, when you stop to think about it, really, the motivation that Christ had to leave the perfection, beauty of heaven, and come to this whole world of sin and darkness and sorrow and redeem my soul, that's love. That's love. God so loved the world. John 3, verse 16. I don't fathom the depth of that love. I believe it, but I don't comprehend the breadth of the love of God. And Jesus voluntarily came and died for me. And I remember that Peter said, He's my perfect example, for hereunto were you called, because Christ also suffered for you, leaving you an example that you should follow in His steps, who did no sin, neither was guile found in His mouth, who when He was reviled, reviled not again, when He suffered, threatened not, but committed Himself unto Him that judgeth righteously, who His own self bare our sins in His body on the tree, that we, having died unto sin, might live unto righteousness, by whose stripes ye are healed. 1 Peter 2:21-24. So Jesus died in my stead. Right. Why did he do that? Love. I am to follow in his footsteps. Right. What did you say, Lord? Love your neighbor as yourself. That is, give your life to the end that you may exemplify the eternal principles contained in God's Word, and then take every advantage of each opportunity to share that good news with those who are lost. It is a wonderful privilege indeed, and that is what Christianity is all about. That's why the church is in this world. Make known to the world the manifold wisdom of God. Didn't Paul say that in Ephesians 3, verse 10? And he points out that's according to the eternal purpose of God. The church is in the world to represent Jesus Christ. It is a matter of dedication, a matter of commitment. It is in consequence of genuine love. Now remember that John said, verse 20 of John chapter 4, he that saith, I love God, while I hateth his brother, is a liar. He that loveth not his brother whom he hath seen cannot love God whom he hath not seen. You know, that's a comprehensive statement, isn't it? What is he saying? Love makes itself manifest in the expression of my life, my attitude, my example, my conduct, for the strengthening, the edification, and the good of others. That's why Christ came. You see, he's creator of heaven and earth. John chapter 1, verses 1 through 3. Oh, but I remember he said, the foxes have holes, the birds of the heavens have nests, but the Son of Man hath not where to lay his head. Well, Lord, you could have anything you wanted. I mean, you... Then said I, lo, I'm come in the roll of the book that is written of me to do thy will, O God. Hebrews 10, verse 7. And he's saying to you and to me, follow me. John chapter 21, verse 22. You see, nothing in this world is permanent. Everything here is passing. Oh, and if it endured forever, I won't stay here long. I'll be gone very shortly. You can't remain here. You didn't bring it and you didn't take it, as we often say. We won't take it with us. And while I'm here, it isn't mine. Oh, and the old physical man, he can just eat one meal at a time, and wear one suit at a time, and one pair of shoes at a time. And it's interesting when James said, James chapter 1, verse 17, every good gift and every perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of lights, with whom is no variation, neither shadow that is cast by turning. I am totally dependent upon the blessings, the goodness, the grace, the mercy of my Heavenly Father. Friends, when I come to understand that, it is not difficult to serve him in this old negative world. Sure, you're going to endure some affliction. Blessed are they that have been persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are ye when men shall reproach you and persecute you and say all manner of evil against you falsely for my name's sake. Rejoice and be exceeding glad, for great is your reward in heaven, for so persecuted they the prophets that were before you. From Matthew chapter 5, verses 10 through 12. Sure, there's going to be affliction, but that's all physical. That's not really important. That's temporary. That's like this old life. How then should I spend my life in this world, reaching out to the lost with the gospel of Jesus Christ? The basis for that is genuine love. Seeing you've purified your souls in your obedience to the truth unto unfeigned love of the brethren, love one another with a pure heart fervently, being begotten again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the word of God, which liveth and abideth. All flesh is as grass. The glory thereof is the flower of grass. The grass withereth and the flower falleth. But the word of the Lord abideth forever. And this is the word of the gospel which hath been preached unto you. Oh, that's from 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 22 through 25. What did you say, Peter? Seeing you have purified your souls in your obedience to the truth, they that gladly received his word were baptized. There were added unto them in that day about 3,000 souls. Of course, the Lord added the saved to the church, verse 47, Acts chapter 2. Purified your souls in your obedience to the truth unto unfeigned. This is genuine, real. It's not to put on. It's not superficial. It's not shallow. Unfeigned love of the brethren. Love one another with a pure heart, fervently. Oh, all flesh is as grass. How long does the grass endure? All flesh is as grass. Oh, and the glory thereof as the flower of grass. The grass withereth and the flower falleth. Well, then, I'm hopelessly undone. But the word of the Lord abideth forever. I need to base my thinking, my life, my conduct, my attitude and relationship to you upon a thus saith the Lord. Oh, then things will work out fine. I remember that he said, Matthew chapter 6, verse 33, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, all these things will be added to you. Isn't that wonderful? How that the Lord provides, every good gift is from above, coming down from the Father of lights. Oh, we noted that. James 1, verse 17. Oh, then I need to give my life in humble obedience to the Master. I need to let my love be expressed in using my strength and my means for the good and the edification of others. That's what Christianity is all about. That's why the church is in this world. But in order to do that, I've got to recognize the divine ownership. I don't belong to me. Know you not that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit, which is in you, which you have from God, and you are not your own, but you were bought with a price? Oh, therefore, glorify God in your body. Oh, then I don't belong to me. Why, certainly not. I have been purchased. I have been redeemed by the blood of Jesus Christ. And I remember that Paul made the statement in 1 Corinthians chapter 7, that when that occurs, if you're a bondman, if you're a slave, then you're the Lord's free man. Oh, but if you're a free man and you are redeemed in the blood of Christ and obedience to the fundamental principles of the gospel, oh, then you're the Lord's bondman. And what is he saying? Bond or free in this whole world is not of particular significance. The important thing in this life is to recognize your commitment to Jesus Christ, the fact that without him you are eternally undone. Thus he purchased your soul, your salvation, by his death and resurrection. Oh, then I belong to Jesus Christ. Why, certainly, know you not that your body is a temple of God? That the Spirit of God dwelleth in you? Or if any man defile the temple of God, him shall God destroy. The temple of God is holy, which temple ye are. I need to remember that I am the temple of the Lord, that is, dwelling place of the Almighty. I am therefore in my thought, speech, and conduct to represent him in this whole world. But someone says, preacher, even though I obey the fundamental principles of the gospel, I'm added by the Lord to the church, I'm among the redeemed, I'm weak, I make a lot of us. That's true. Yeah, he came to seek and to save that which was lost. He came to save sinners such as I. There's no question about it. Oh, but when you obey the fundamental principles of the gospel, Paul explains in Romans chapter 6, verses 1 through 6, that the old man of sin is done away. Oh, you're raised to walk in newness of life, verse 4. Oh, and in Christ you're a new creature, 2 Corinthians 5, 17. The involvement, the meaning, the significance of that. Oh, you're in the house where the blood is on the door. You're under the protective custody of the blood of Jesus Christ. 1 John chapter 1 at verse 7. You're a child of God. Make mistakes? Yes, but pray to your Father. Everything's fine. Serve him.